Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and it is the 22nd of January, and I'm recording at 10:08 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, this being Friday, this is a big picture, long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's just have a quick review here of what's been going on. And unless you were living up in a tree or under a rock, and I'm sure none of you were, of course, although some people do, perhaps, this was a wild week, and actually it's been a wild 3 weeks for global stock markets. Well, the greens dominate in here. Fortunately, not the political type, but the green buy signs here for these stock markets. The big one in the Asia Pacific was Japan, up over 5.5%, 5.75% for the various indices. Now, China did pretty well, also steady here. Recent gains. And this time, the Hang Seng Index and the HSCI, that's the H-Shares Index, did far better than the mainland indices. That HSCI was up 3.44%. And big gains, over 2% for the most part, or very close to it, right down the rest of the list. And the smaller ones, though, Australia up just a little over 1%, and Indonesia a little less than that. But strong gains overall. Well, Europe didn't disappoint. We had a lot of gains, most of them in the 2% plus, and some of them in the 3% plus categories, including Sweden and the Netherlands and Spain and France. So very strong, and the German market didn't do badly, up nearly 2%, and the UK market was up over 2%, so again, very strong day there as well. Now, on Wall Street, again, good action, closing not far off the highs here, and the best gainer was the NASDAQ Composite. That's encouraging, up 2.66%. Over 2% for the S&P 500, but so it's a very, very good day here overall, and Canada did well for a change, up nearly 3%. So the bulls fully in charge. Well, what set up the background for that, you might well ask? And first, you know, we'd had panicky selling, and you know, if you ask yourself, what happens after panicky selling? Whenever I've seen panicky selling in my adult life as someone who watches stock markets, what happens after panicky selling? Well, you get a good rally. And so that's one factor. You don't always know when the good rally is actually going to occur, but the further it goes, or the more panicky it is, the more likely it is. And the other factor you will not be surprised to hear me say is that crude oil had a very good day in here. The Brent, which trades after hours and is still trading, is up 2.9%. 2.9% on the day. That's taken it up to $32.14. $32.14. Not far off the high. And we also have the WTI currently up $2.72, and that's at $32.25. So really strong oil. How many times have you heard China and oil, but and more particularly really oil? Because China's gone on the PR offenses, and that has caused people to worry somewhat less about China. But there wasn't really anyone to go on the oil PR offensive here. But, you know, I did mention, I think, in the last couple of audios that we have kind of a consensus among forecasters, some of whom are certainly very credible and very, very experienced, who were saying, well, second half of this year, we think crude oil will go up, maybe to $40, maybe more. And then other people have said, well, it may take longer. It may be in the beginning of 2017, but it will go up, and at least $40, and maybe $50 or even $60 a year or two later. And that, well, you know, the crude oil market has, of course, been dominated by supply. Very, very heavy supply. But we also know that there has been some stockpiling, and the Chinese have been doing that, for instance. And we also know that demand generally has increased against the background of very, very low prices, as it has always done historically. So you have this massive supply, but that's pretty much fully discounted, dare I say. I think so, but at any rate, according to one Bloomberg article that I'm posting here this evening, that this was the best two-day gain. Remember, we only hit the low for this year on crude oil on Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday we had rallies, and this one's particularly strong, and as I say, Bloomberg said this is the strongest rally, I think it was since 2009. I'm just going to try to confirm that. I don't want to miss it. Since 2009, and that's after a slump to a 12-year low. Now, you know that the short positions have been enormous in this market. And these people are not fools. If you were a short position in the oil market, or you just put yourself in that position, and you hear everybody, all the experts saying, well, you know, it's going to go up quite sharply, at least 50% in a number of months, then what are you going to do? You know, I don't think you're going to can go out there and short even more. What you are more likely to do, perhaps, is to take some profits, and even more likely to put in trailing stops, because they'll be short futures contracts, of course. And so that's what's been triggered in here, and it could lead to a good bounce. And the stock markets liked it. Why? When they're benefiting from crude oil, low prices for crude oil overall, at least the oil importers are. Well, I think the big issue here, just to simplify it, but you get the gist, and we've talked about this before here, that we have chaos in the oil markets, and there are fears of bankruptcies, oil producers defaulting on their debts, and all sorts of things here. Well, you know, you don't want to compound those problems overall, or put it this way, those problems have worried a lot of investors, and all the banks will be involved in terms of some loans to those oil producers. So that means that continuing plunge in oil prices weighs heavily on stock markets. A decent technical rally would enable everybody to calm down, as I've said before. And it looks like that's happening. We've got at least a low of short-term significance in these crude oil markets. Now, if it's more than that, if it's an important bottom, we'll get a sharp rally over the next few weeks. And that's, if it is, I just repeat that for clarity, if this is an important low for oil, and it's in with a chance, it's at least a short-term low of some significance, but is it a medium-term or longer low? That's the point I'm trying to make. If it's a medium-term or longer low, in fact, it might even be the low, but if it is the low, then we are going to see a further sharp rally, mostly on short covering, occurring over the next few weeks. And then after that short covering has actually occurred, that will remove some of the fuel, no pun intended, for oil. And then it'll roll over, and we will go into a right-hand extension. Now, Khan Ashanti of the Chart Seminar will know that that is generally referred to as a V-bottom with right-hand extension formation, and it would be a bullish overall pattern, as indeed are these two sharp days of rally that we have just seen. Okay, now let me get back to stock markets here. What about them? Well, you know, I asked that question, what happens after you get a sharp panic? And it was blood in the streets time. And that is, you know, the old saying, the old adage, you know, when you see blood in the streets, it's time to buy, even if some of it's your own. And I think that's true, certainly in this environment. And another factor that's taken place that I've mentioned recently is that we've had a reset, a big reset in terms of valuations. So the most common concern that we heard about stock markets was, well, they're overvalued in here. Well, they're a lot less overvalued after three sharp weeks to the downside, at least through Wednesday of this week. And the technical action is quite reasonable. Okay, so where do we go on a longer term basis with these stock markets? Well, veteran subscribers will remember us saying over and over again over the last few years, you know, when you get to the stage where you the sort of the QE starts to end and the U.S. starts raising interest rates and other countries are queuing up to eventually follow that lead, expect a very choppy environment. And that's what we've got, a choppy environment. And I wouldn't be surprised if the choppy environment hangs around for a while. But having seen the chop, you were now getting a bit of a rebound in here. And a lot of people have worried that the bear market might be huge. And just going to have a quick cough. See, a lot of people have worried that the bear market might be really huge. Well, when a lot of people become frightened, and the short sellers who've been bleeding prior to the downturn, then become very loud, and we get lots of extrapolations, and old bears come out of the woodwork here, and we get a lot of dramatic forecasts to the downside. I'm trying to denigrate anyone, but you know, there are some people who are primarily bearish. It's a hard life, but that's what they choose. I think most, as a relevant aside, I think most stock market investors, certainly long-term investors, are somewhat optimistic people. Now, not foolishly so, because stock markets go up more than they go down. And stock markets go up over time because we gradually improve the global economy in a somewhat erratic fashion, as you know. Okay, so what's going to happen here? On the medium term, I expect, first, short term, I think we have a good chance of a stronger rally. But it'll have to be a very strong rally to really cause all the bears to be reassured and the bulls to feel a little bit wounded and chagrined. But overall, the outlook is for further ranging but at a somewhat higher level, and a choppy market that could last, well, you know, it might go on for another year or two. I won't sign that off as a guarantee, because of course I can't. I'm just guessing about that. But the the environment will be a bit uncertain, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, provided you remember buy on weakness, sell on strength. Certainly sell on upward acceleration after that upward acceleration begins to lose momentum. And buy when you get the plunges. I think that's, I can't think of a better strategy for this type of environment overall. You could also lock things away, provided they're good choices, good well-covered dividends paid by your favorite shares. If you don't want to be battered by all the emotion in the markets, lock away quality shares. I think on a longer-term basis, they will probably serve you well overall, provided you have a sensibly diversified portfolio. Because after that choppy period, which may go on for, could easily go on for another couple of years, and that would also involve a normalization of interest rates, I think it would also be followed by somewhat better economic growth overall. And remember that low oil price, which I certainly don't think is going to get much above $50, $60. Maybe temporarily you get a little higher on some sort of scare. But then remember, production starts coming on stream again, and not least in terms of shale output, and then you see the oil prices go down again. And meanwhile, the renewables are becoming ever more competitive. So that's the situation generally in terms of energy, and it's very, very bullish over the longer term for all the countries that import crude oil, and for all the consumers that drive cars and would like to see lower energy costs. Lower energy costs can be a big driver along with technology, and I should have put technology first because it's technology that's created the low energy prices. And it's made, remember when people were talking about peak oil, and they were doing that early in this century, they were still quite passionately convinced that we'd seen peak oil and we're going to run out of the stuff and be hovering in the dark. Well, the only reason we're going to be hovering in the dark, I think, is if we have too many windmills. And the wind drops down, and you don't have enough nuclear power, and you don't have enough of the other conventional power forms. But I say that with a chuckle. Hopefully, that's not a serious risk here overall. What is a very likely? I think it's a probability. I think it's a certainty. Actually, is it 10 years from now? 10 years from now, energy prices are going to be lower. 20 years from now, I think energy prices are going to be lower still, in that the inefficient renewables will be replaced by far more efficient ones, again led by technology, and that will be extremely good for long-term GDP growth. Who benefits from the most from that? Well, everybody benefits, except for the producers of conventional forms of energy, which are losing market share, such as fossil fuels. But equities benefit most of all, because they are often, a lot of them are big consumers of energy, and so it just makes the whole process more efficient. But technology, that's the biggest factor. I could bore you on that all day long, and I promise not to, but we are in an accelerated rate of technological innovation. This is enabling countries to develop very quickly, in terms of their middle classes, provided they just have a modest semblance of good governance. Now, you might wonder about China's governance in here, and certainly confidence has been shaken in China's governance. I say take a little bit of a longer-term view here, because for over a generation, China was producing the best rate of economic GDP growth and development of its economy that the world had ever seen. And China's not short of ambition. I mean, they've got a 10-year plan here where they are trying to move from a manufacturing, mainly manufacturing and export economy, into a consumer economy based on increasing middle class demand. They're trying to do that within 10 years. Well, it may take longer than that, but it's probably took the United States 50 years to do that, and it's true for all other developed economies as well. So, you know, with a well-educated population, I wouldn't underrate China's long-term governance potential. And as I've been pointing out, you know, it's cheap as chips here. And investors should be buying again when these markets are depressed, and then sell them when they get bubbly. Okay, now, what else can we talk about? Long-dated government bonds. Well, yields here, the U.S. Treasury, despite this big rally here today, it only went up a little bit, 2.05 for the 10-year. It had been higher earlier on in the day, and then some money rushed back in. So, you know, people are still very nervous. We've only had 2 days of rally in stock markets and 2 days of rally in the crude oil price. So, nervous people still going into that market. But, you know my view. I think we're in a very slow bottoming out process for those yields in government bonds. It may remain slow, go on ranging here overall, but after a bull market of, 36 years, it doesn't, I think, take too much imagination to appreciate that the next big move is going to be to the upside in terms of those yields. Now, then you get other people saying, well, no, this is the new normal. We're going to have a disinflationary environment forever or whatever, to exaggerate the point a little bit on my part. And I don't buy into that either. Commodity markets overall are in a gradual bottoming out stage. That will bring back a little bit of the inflation, which everyone has felt had been banished forever, or we're beginning to suspect had been banished forever. What we do know, though, is that technology is a positive deflator, and that will be around for a long time. So I don't think we get into a serious inflation problem unless governments allow their currencies to go through the floor in a big way. Russia? You bet. Overall, though, I was talking about government bonds, and I think that, are they still a safe haven? Well, yes, but I'd rather have the equities, far better yields available, and I think that we will see the equities outperform over the longer term. But bonds, it's been a fantastic 36 years and counting in terms of real returns. Okay, what else here? Currencies. Dollar index is too strong in here. I'm concerned about this. It's at right now, it is at 99.534. That's too high, and we've seen the U.S. Treasury, I'm convinced. Well, we haven't seen them do it, but I strongly believe that they have been doing it, coming in and intervening on behalf of the Fed. And I've said that repeatedly. I think the evidence backs that, because the U.S. Fed will be extremely concerned about the strength of the dollar. The last thing they want is the dollar to, as I've said before, going up through that 100 level and rallying another 10 to 20%. That would be extremely bad. That would cause another recession, I feel, or certainly greatly increase the risk of a recession for the U.S. Would certainly cause problems for anybody who had borrowed in dollars at lower levels. And we know that a number of corporations, and indeed countries as well, have done just that. So this would be a bad situation here overall. That is my biggest concern going forward. Do we get a too strong dollar? Now, my goodness, the Fed has the wit and will, I assume, to keep that under control. But it might not be all that easy. We will see. So watch that. Now, what about other currencies in here? Well, the Chinese have clearly pegged the renminbi, at least in the short term. I think we're in the third week here, just moving very quietly sideways. Indian rupee, which has been a little bit soft over the last couple of months, but was somewhat firmer in here today. Euro is soft here at 10. Well, it's just under 108. No big action there. And sterling is a little bit soft. It's slightly firmer today, but it's at 1.4265. I don't think we're going to have a awfully big move. What we are seeing is that following the blowout of the resources producer country currencies, they all fell very, very sharply. We're now getting some rebound, so the resources economies see their currencies somewhat stronger yesterday and today, and they were very, very oversold. So if we get a continued stock market and resources prices rally over the next few weeks, we'll see those currencies improve a little bit more. Now, among other commodities, I've given you the crude oil, the dramatic moves that we've seen over the last couple of days. And indeed, the continuous commodity index has done exactly the same thing. Two good days to the upside here, obviously led by oil prices, but also your firmer metals generally. Not all that big in terms of the moves, but also some firmer agricultural commodity prices as well. And I think to bear in mind here, there are a lot of people going around and saying, well, you know, I'd have high tech. And if you have, as long as you're not paying too big a premium for high tech, and as long as you watch its momentum, because you get a lot of momentum plays in technology shares, and when they lose momentum, you can get quite sharp corrections, particularly if they are overextended to the upside relative to their rising 200-day moving averages. Well, commodities, with everybody saying they don't like them, that's partly because they don't own them, which is a bull point. If nobody owns, or very, very few people have any commodity positions, then, you know, what's going to be next in the swings and roundabouts of market activity? So I do feel that commodities, well, this is a region of a trough. They've been probing for lows down here, and we've seen at least a low of short-term significance over the last couple of days. And I think we will see some significant recoveries, not enough to create inflation problems, but enough maybe to give a little bit of life support to the commodity producers, and that would be a good thing. And remember, these commodities have not become so weak because global demand had stalled. Sure, China importing far less of these things, but overall, demand has held up pretty well. It's supply, supply, supply. And all that supply, people had geared up because they thought China would be consuming these things in ever greater quantities, but also they were able to build up or increase the supply because of technology. Remember that technology, positive deflation, you can produce more for less. And we need to just see these companies get this back into balance and cut back production a little bit, just stockpile the stuff, don't throw it onto the market. And we're seeing that's beginning to happen, And therefore, I think that as the year progresses, we should see further evidence that commodity markets are bottoming out here overall. And on that note, have an absolutely fantastic weekend. All the very best to all of you.